Friday, 5 p.m. We made it through another week that just flew by. It takes like one day to live 5 days lately. I don't know. It just feels like everything. Time's moving fast, folks. But time for American Hit Radio. Let's slow things down for the next hour. And I'll let you know. Let's see what's going on. We are, of course, in the middle of our Monkey Marathon, I suppose you could call it. It's How Music
Monkey
Changed
Madness.
Series. Right. This is our series, How Music Changed, dedicated to the Monkees. And today is show number 4 in that regard. It's the second show that's being focused on the recording of the Monkees' second album. So we could call this show More of the Monkees, so to speak. Or you could also call it How to Almost Ruin a Brilliant Album.
Oh.
Last week we played a lot of the stuff that made it onto the album.
Is that the colloquial title?
It could be. Yeah, exactly. Any album titled More of the Monkees certainly did not scream art with a capital A. I understand that. But this record came pretty close to being brilliant beyond all expectations until a lot of plebeian ideas almost derailed the project. This show features the absolute best and the absolute worst of the Monkees' second album. Pain, anger, disenchantment, and innate talent made this album the greatest conundrum of the 60s. It was the best-selling album of 1967. That's right. What else came out in 1967? Sgt. Pepper? Sorry, More of the Monkees was a bigger seller.
Wow.
Incredible. Upon its release, it forced their debut album out of the number one position and then held the number one position for 31 consecutive weeks. Imagine that. Meanwhile, some other obscure band from England released an album called Sgt. Pepper's Something or Other. And anyway, this show features
blah, blah, blah.
The best and the worst of these statistics. So let's pick up where we dropped off. Tracks that we covered, we covered last week. We'll get to that. We'll figure that out as we go. But we were talking about Don Kirshner was beginning to create a lot of problems in terms of not relating to the Monkees at all and basically treating them as though they were actors and not musicians.
Their product.
And Mike was okay with that to an extent until the music began to take precedence over the show. And so Mike started to try to, get himself ingratiated, but those two were not getting any closer as time went on. So Kirshner was setting up sessions and trying to change how things were happening. For example, he was already trying to get Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart out of the equation and bring in his own New York team, Neil Diamond, Carole King. Nothing's wrong with that. Some of the best stuff that the Monkees ever did came from the pen of either Neil Diamond or Carole King and her husband Jerry Goffin at the time. But they were not giving Mike enough space. Now, we covered most of Mike's input on the previous show. So this is where we're going to find ourselves basically walking a very fine line. A lot of what my comments are going to be coming from the liner notes of the re-released version of More of the Monkees. But the first of Don Kirshner's New York City Monkees sessions occurred on October 13th. When Carole King taped two of her songs for the group. I Don't Think You Know Me was one, and Sometime in the Morning was another. I Don't Think You Know Me was originally attempted by Mike Nesmith for the first Monkees album. Didn't make it. We did play a version. King never worked directly with the Monkees, choosing instead to send her tapes to Los Angeles with her own vocal tracks for the Monkees to mimic. There were some tracks that were brought in by producers from New York. The guys, they didn't like that at all, says recording engineer Hank Sicalo of the Monkees' involvement in these East Coast masters. I didn't blame them. That was kind of underhanded. A lot of that was Don Kirshner. They wanted to do it in New York with their musicians. The Monkees would come in and we'd put vocals on and percussion, stuff like that. Some of them were very basic. Some of them were full. You've got to remember that they were tired. It was a horrendous schedule with a lot of pressure. So there were times when a tune would arrive and it wouldn't be their tune, so there was always that bit of intimidation. For example, when Carol and Jerry Goffin sent us a record, the record would have everything built into it. A hell of a performance, some great hook, something that made the record really good vocally or musically. Inevitably, anybody who ever did a Carole King demo in those days, and even now, what you did was you got to duplicate it. You had to. You had to do it because that's what made that demo work. You're trying to do something that's not really you, but it's something that Screen Gems would say, gee, just sing it like Jerry sang that verse. So sometimes you'd get into problems like that. I found that there were times when they were forced into things that were difficult to deal with. Here are those two songs back to back. One of them, which did not make the album, I Don't Think You Know Me, and we'll follow that with what I think is perhaps the best song of all on More of the Monkees, the Goffin King composed Sometime in the Morning on 90.3 WHPC.
Okay, technical difficulties here. For some reason, this is not going, but we're going to see if we can get this going.
Let's see, but right now we're trying to get the disc player to move, and it's not. I don't know why. It's
not playing.
It's just not playing.
Sometimes.
Is that a technical thing?
Where's one?
One. Still nothing.
We'll try, I'm going to put it in the other side.
Okay.
Okay, we got to make sure that we can hear that, though.
But we got to put this also out of remote.
Sorry about this, folks.
I'll switch that.
We'll figure this out somehow.
Yeah, hang on a second. What song? Do we have it in the vault?
16.
No, this would not be in the vault for sure.
Okie dokie.
But we'll figure it out, because this is the rare number.
Yeah, it's moving.
Great. Okay, so 16, like right? We said, this track, sorry for the delay there, folks. Here is I Don't Think You Know Me, an outtake from More of the Monkees on 90.3 WHPC.
If you think I want the life you choose, could be done so easily now.
Rates in my top five all-time Monkey songs. I just never, ever grew tired of it. I thought it was like a guilty pleasure of mine. Like maybe it's a little bit too corny and people, I'm the only one who thinks this. And I started talking about it with a couple of friends, you know, who grew up with the Monkees like I did. And, you know, people with really varied tastes. And they go, oh, yeah, that song, Sometime in the Morning, that was like great. I love that song. So, yeah, it was a great album track. From More of the Monkees. And we'll deal with the good stuff for a little bit longer, thank goodness. To facilitate the transition that Don Kirshner was trying to impose, he appointed stalwart songwriter and producer Jeff Barry, who's currently riding high with his hit production of Neil Diamond's Cherry Cherry. Barry brought Neil Diamond into RCA's New York Studio B on October 15 to tape two songs for the Monkees. Again, like I'm saying, the Monkees are doing nothing. They're just getting pre-recorded tracks now. Don Kirshner liked Cherry Cherry very much, and he asked if I had something that the Monkees could do, recalled Neil Diamond. So I sent them over my version of I'm a Believer. It was originally a song that I just wrote for my album. It was just a little simple kind of self-expression thing, a happy kind of thing. I didn't think too much of it. I just liked the title. That's how the song came. I had written it at about the same time that I wrote Cherry Cherry, and it was like I had an extra hit. Also taped on October 15th was Diamond's catchy Look Out, Here Comes Tomorrow. So we're going to play that, but we have an unusual version of it, a version where I don't even know why this is happening, but Peter Tork starts dropping in little commentary about what is going to be happening next on the record, sort of like destroying the song in its entirety. So we'll play them back to back on 90.3 WHPC, what is, I believe, the biggest Monkees hit of all time. I'm a Believer.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Love was out to get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face, now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love, I'm a believer. Seems the more I gave, the less I got.
to use in trying, and all you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. I'm down in my mind. And I'm a believer. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm a believer. And I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm a believer. And I'm a believer. Yeah, I'm a believer.
Look out, here comes tomorrow. Wish I could borrow someone else's shoes. Mary,
Mary,
oh, what a sweet girl, lips like strawberry pie. Sandra, long hair and beat girl, can't make up my mind. I see all kinds of sorrow. Wish I only loved one. Look out.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to The Instrumental. Thank you. We hope you enjoyed it. And now, back to the song.
Well, I see all kinds of sorrow. Wish I own a loved one. Look out, here comes tomorrow. Oh, how I wish tomorrow would never come.
Ladies and gentlemen, this part of our record is here because if it weren't, the record would be 17 seconds too short and we would have to do an interview at the end.
Well, I see all kinds of sorrow. Wish I only loved one. Look out, here comes tomorrow. Oh, how I wish tomorrow would never come.
Hi, this is me again, and this part is what we call the fade, where the record gets softer and softer, and the disc jockey usually comes in and starts talking over it.
Poor Peter. I don't know if you would say that he was definitely cast as the dummy, but he was also the quiet monkey in so many ways, because he was almost never given a chance to sing. But he's going to be a pretty big part of at least the opening part of this show. That was Pete who sang "I Don't Think That You Know Me" on the first track we played today. Oh. And it's Pete doing the little silly narration in
there. The little voiceover.
And now there's this story about what happens. The following week after they recorded I'm a Believer, Jeff Barry flew out to Los Angeles to meet with the Monkees and play them the tracks that they would be singing on. The first time I met them, it was at somebody's office, recounts Barry. I had the demo, just a simple track of I'm a Believer, and either myself or Neil singing the lead, just so the kids could hear the song. No background parts or anything, basic track and vocal. Everybody was duly receptive, understanding that it was certainly not a record, but this is the song and the basic track. Everybody seemed enthusiastic except Mike Nesmith. He had a big attitude right from the beginning, and he said at one point, I'm a producer too, and that ain't no hit. So it was like, ooh, okay. To break the tension, I made what I thought was an obvious joke. I said, well, Mike, it's not finished. You've got to picture this with the strings and the horns, when I thought there wasn't going to be strings and horns. And he goes, well, maybe it could be something with strings and horns. Then he realized everybody laughed and the relationship basically went downhill from there.
Whoopsie.
Indeed, Barry even tried to include Nesmith on the vocals at a session that weekend, albeit with little success. At a certain point, he became so disruptive, I just tossed him out. He never made the finals. I don't remember exactly, but history shows that he thought he knew everything. Regardless, Barry quickly snared Davey and Mickey's lead vocals for I'm a Believer and Look Out, Here Comes Tomorrow, respectively. After a failed narration part on Look Out, Here Comes Tomorrow, this is the bonus track we just played, Barry then granted Peter his first released lead vocal on Your Auntie Griselda. Cut at a Jack Keller-produced session on October 14 alongside a second version of Hold On, Girl, Griselda was intended as a Rolling Stones 19th Nervous Breakdown-style knockoff. The tracks were recorded at American Studios, where Three Dog Night used to record with engineer Richie Podler, recalled the late Keller in 1991. American Studios, yes, we did an entire series on that. It's a recording studio. At that time, the Monkees were only dealing with Jeff Barry, so Donnie said, hey, do you mind if you split the production with Jeff? Because he can get Davey to come in and sing. I didn't know that he was going to use Peter on Your Auntie Griselda. I thought the Monks would cut it like 19th Nervous Breakdown with Mickey singing lead or Mickey and Davey. It turned out to be a total surprise to me when it came to the session and Jeff said, Peter's gonna sing it. As it turned out, it was the only lead vocal I know of that Peter got on. It was a total comedy thing. He did that all in one take, no second take. That was it, and what you heard there. He made up the whole thing. I was in a total state of shock when I heard it. On 90.3 WHPC, here's Peter Tork making up Your Auntie Griselda as it happened.
I know about the guy who treated you so bad. He took your love and then just walked away. That you have got the reason to be sad, but help is on its way. So hold on, girl. Be a little bit stronger.
Hold on, girl.
Wait a little bit longer.
Hold on, girl.
Help is on its way. I know you feel as though your world is at an end. Well, you don't have to live with yesterday. I promise you the sun is gonna shine again, and help is on its way.
So hold on, girl.
Now that we are together.
Hold on, girl.
Stronger.
Hold on, girl.
Wait a minute.
to be the hurting kind. He lied to you and led your heart astray. But now the time has come to leave the past behind, as help is on its way.
So hold on, girl.
Now that we are together,
hold on, girl.
Things are gonna be better.
Hold on, girl.
Help is on its way.
Your Auntie Griselda. She says she knows my kind. She might maybe so. Oh yeah, she's raised you right, your Auntie Griselda. You only know the things she wants you to know. I know she's having a fit. She doesn't like me a bit. No bird of grace ever lit on Auntie Griselda. Her style, your Auntie Griselda. She couldn't budge a smile and do it for free. So righteous making fudge, your Auntie Griselda. So proper judging others over her tea. You look just like her, you do. I know by looking at you that you've been listening to your Auntie Griselda. Oh no, don't look at me like Auntie Griselda. It takes much more to be someone of your own. You've got to make it free from Auntie Griselda. For just like her, you'll have to make it alone. She's having a fit. She doesn't like me a bit. No bird of grace ever lit on Auntie Griselda. Auntie Griselda. Auntie Griselda.
Auntie Griselda. Auntie Griselda. 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 It's Peter Tork, of course, with your Auntie Griselda. I apologize for some of the mix-ups that are with me, like calling out certain songs. I did mention Hold On Girl, and I just forgot that it was queued up to play. The reason is that we've had some trouble with the way that I normally bring my music to this, you know, for these shows, and that's why we had the initial problem in the beginning of the show. We'll get through. So far, not so bad. All right, where were we? Amid this atmosphere of stockpiling tracks, Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart returned to the studio at the end of the month to cut a few more potential masters. One of them was Teardrop City, a slow, bluesy composition, a slower version of like Last Train to Clarksville and Tomorrow's Gonna Be Another Day, the seventh chord thing that they did. They would later speed it up on a A-side for in 1969 when the band was no longer that popular, but this is the original version of the song taken at its original slower tempo on 90.3 WHPC.
About as slow.
I'm on top, but I didn't know.
think the song sounds a little bit too much like their previous songs that they had written for the Monkees, like Last Train to Clarksville, but that's just me. Anyway, they also recorded a song that stayed in the vaults until 1969, was a song called Looking for the Good Times, which eventually came out on the Monkees' Present album, again, after they were no longer popular. But meanwhile, Boyce and Hart's very pretty song, I'll Spend My Life With You, would be recut by the Monkees in early 1967 for their Headquarters album. Here is an earlier version. This is what Tommy Boyce says about it, about the song. He goes, I got that idea about a girl that I thought I was in love with, but she left me for another guy. We wrote that in the office. In those days, I was a bit confused just about women in general. Like after writing, I want to be free. Don't say you love me, say you like me. This particular girl left me for a gangster, actually a New York gangster. I had written the song before that. You know, when you're 26 or 27 and totally in love, people come and people go, moving fast and moving slow. You're in a crowd and yet you're all alone. Bobby helped me finish it, of course, and I played it for her, thinking that I would maybe get her to stay with me. Of course, she left. On 90.3 WHPC, here's that original demo version of I'll Spend My Life With You.
People come and people go, moving fast and moving slow. I'm in a crowd and yet I'm all alone. The road is long, the road is rough. I do believe I've had enough. I'm gonna turn around and head for home. And I hope you're there and you still care. I'll spend my life with you. I've had all the time I need to rearrange my mind and lead the life I thought I wanted yesterday. I played a game that couldn't last, and now some memories from my past have turned my thoughts around a different way. And girl, you're still on my mind, and if you want me to, I'll spend my life with you.
It's all right, Tommy. It's a very pretty song. And the Monkees do a great job of it on their third album. We'll be getting there next week. On October 28th, RCA Studios in Hollywood played host to both Jeff Barry as well as Boyce and Hart. Six songs were taped at two separate sessions, with Boyce and Hart producing Apples, Peaches, Bananas, and Pears, Don't Listen to Linda, and another song entitled I Never Thought It Peculiar. All were rejected by Kirshner. Here are the first two, Apples, Peaches, Bananas, and Pears, and Don't Listen to Linda on 90.3 WHPC.
Apples, peaches, bananas, and pears. I love you, girl, now that's the truth. I need you. Bananas and pears. Run to me, girl, don't wait too long, and you'll see I won't do.
peaches, bananas, and pears.
I've said all I can today, girl, that's the way I am. Take it for what it's worth and throw the rest into the sand. Give me you, girl, that's all I ask. Please be true.
Peaches, bananas, and pears.
I love you, girl, now that's the truth. I need you. I care. I bring you apples, peaches, bananas, and pears.
Apples, peaches, bananas, and pears.
Don't listen to Linda. She said all those things before. She's just a pretender. And though you couldn't love her more, she'll lead you on. But then one day she'll say you have to part. Don't listen to Linda. She'll only break your heart. Don't listen to Linda. If you want some good advice, just try to remember. She did it once, she'll do it twice. There's more to her little games than your eyes can see. Don't listen to Linda, or you'll end up like me. You never understand her. All the presents you could hand her would never be enough. Oh no, so don't underestimate her. But sooner or later, the going's gonna start to get rough. Don't listen to Linda. Don't believe the things you hear. You're her top contender for the loser of the year. I've said everything I can to try and make you see. Don't listen to Linda, or you'll end up like me. One day she'll say you have to part. Don't listen to Linda, she'll only break your heart.
A couple of tracks there from Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart that are not making the cut. There's a good number of that at this point in time. Meanwhile, Jeff Barry was far more successful in getting songs onto the album with this incredibly soppy recitation of The Day We Fall in Love and a song that the Tokens provided called Laugh. They both made the album, and those are the two tracks that, in my mind, really almost ruin the entire album. They're definitely the low points. So we will, because they're released, we'll play them now back to back. We'll follow that, though, with a third track, the song called I'll Be Back Upon My Feet, that were from the same sessions, which did not make the album and ended up being used for the television soundtrack only on 90.3 WHPC.
The There'll be birds singing everywhere, and the wind will be blowing through your hair. I'll look into your eyes and wait for the prize. Your lips kissing mine with a love that is real, and you'll look so young and fair. On the day we fall in love, you and me, on the day we'll fall in love, you'll see. There'll be rainbows reaching across the sky, and we'll both be so happy, we'll cry. We'll walk hand in hand, in snow or in sand, whether roses are blooming or snowmen stand by, time will stop for you and I. On the day we fall in love, it will be on the day we fall in love. You'll see. And if the lines that I say fall apart, it's because I won't know where to start. But you'll understand when I say them to you, 'cause they'll come straight from my heart. On the day we fall in love, you and me, on the day we fall in love, you'll see. You'll see. You'll see.
Kind of gets me down. Laugh,
All right, then. That's I'll Be Back Upon My Feet, the TV soundtrack version, a song that would make their fifth album. Don Kirshner asked Carol Bayer and I, this is Don Kirshner. Who's, oh my God, this is terrible. I'm forgetting his name now. I forget who's talking here. Neil Sedaka. These are Neil Sedaka's words. Thank you. Don Kirshner asked Carol Bayer and I to go into the studio with Davy Jones and produce a couple of sides for the More of the Monkees album, said Sedaka. What sticks out in my mind is there's a phrase I've come to hate over the years when people would say to you, if not this album, the next album. Don Kirshner heard the two songs, When Love Comes Knocking at Your Door, and another one called The Girl I Left Behind. Then he said, well, we're putting When Love Comes Knocking at Your Door on the album, but we'll reserve The Girl I Left Behind Me for the next album. I was discouraged because it was left off the album. As a result, I lost a lot of money. It was a lot of competition and a lot of politics and a lot of schmoozing, which I'm not good at. Here's the song that did make the album, When Love Comes Knocking at Your Door, on 90.3 WHPC.
When love comes knocking at your door, just open up and let him in. It's gonna be a magic carpet ride. So little girl, now don't you run and hide. I know that you've been hurt before, but don't you be afraid no more. Chains that bind and leave the past behind. When love comes knocking at your door, I know. When love comes knocking at your door,
that you're afraid of loving me.
Just open up and let him
in. You'll find it and you'll see.
It's gonna be a magic
that loving me will make you high.
So little girl, now don't you run and hide.
Look, baby,
you'll see a rainbow every day.
I know that you've been hurt before.
The sun will shine in every way.
But don't you be afraid no more.
Throw off the chains that bind and leave the past behind. No need to worry anymore. When love comes knocking at your door,
at your door.
So at the beginning of November, Don Kirshner issued I'm a Believer as a single, and the results were stunning. Charting in more than a dozen countries, it became the biggest record of the Monkees' career. Despite the fact that he had more than two albums worth of tracks to choose from, Kirshner just steamed ahead with a final More of the Monkees session on November 23rd, and that was where that track we just heard was recorded. Only days after this session, the Monkees made their live concert debut to a rapturous audience in Honolulu. Playing and singing every note themselves, the Monkees grew increasingly confident in their musical ability and were now acutely aware of their star power. Back in New York City, Don Kirshner readied the masters and the artwork for More of the Monkees, skipping the group's concert tour. The second record was so angering because Donnie Kirshner was almost militantly out to cut us out of the process, said Peter Tork. It was like he was angry at us. On the back cover of it is nothing but Donnie Kirshner congratulating himself for having hired all these other good musicians. We were playing our music on stage, and we were righteously angry. Tork was further miffed that by the time the group saw the final More of the Monkees packaging and the contents, the record had already been manufactured and was in stores. In this case, a marketing contract with JCPenney dictated that the album had to be rushed out while the group was on tour. In a tie-in with a Monkees JCPenney fashion line, the group donned the cheap clothes that the store was hawking. For some time, the album was as much a promotion for the merchandise as it was for the music. We obviously did parts of it and they put it together, said Peter Tork of this debacle, but the fact that it was out there without our having heard it and the JCPenney clothes on the cover, which were a pain to begin with, and then all that self-congratulatory stuff, we had to buy the album to hear it. Somebody went across the street to the mall and bought the album. We were on the road at the moment. We were enraged. Well, despite the Monkees' concerns, the album became the biggest-selling long player of their careers, racking up a staggering 70 weeks on the Billboard chart, staying at number one for 18 weeks in 1967 and becoming the third biggest-selling LP of the 60s, higher than any Beatles album. When it returned to the listings for another 26 weeks in 1986, more of the Monkees' status as the 12th biggest-selling album of all time was cemented. We will leave you with an alternate mix of I'm a Believer. Take care, folks. We'll see you next week.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else but not for me. All love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. And I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried.
This show.